Student Assembly Meeting, October 5th, 2006.
Here. Excuse me.
President Coombs will conduct open microphone.
All right, howdy, everybody. Every week, as I say, all members of the Cornell community are considered non-voting SA members, and if you have anything you'd like to say at this time that's not on the agenda, you are more than welcome to do so. Okay. If you please state your name and class year, and you have 2 minutes.
Can you please speak into the microphone? Hi.
I'm still awesome right here. One of the things I've noticed around campus, I'm not sure if the students in my any jurisdiction over this problem, but I'm sure you refer to the rights committee or people within Cornell. But there are bike routes around campus that are off the roads, and they're designated by a diamond symbol of some kind of a bike line. Most of those symbols are faded out, really faded out, and especially when it rains, it's really hard to tell the difference between a sidewalk and a bike route. Now, I've talked to people all across the campus, not too many, but some have actually got a ticket because they can't tell the difference between a bike route and a sidewalk. So they're, you know, biking around the campus, not knowing the difference between, you know, a bike route and a sidewalk. If it at all possible,
all right, thank you. And I'm just going to take a guess that open mic is done for today.
All right, thank you. On to the approval of the minutes. At this time, if you have any amendments or corrections to the minutes, please direct them to the clerk.
I'll leave it. She'll get to you.
Okay. Call for unanimous consent. Okay. Is there any dissent? Okay. The minutes are approved. On to announcements and reports. First, we have an early decisions discussion update by Vice President Greenberg.
All right, everybody. On Wednesday, October 11th, the first Wednesday after fall break, we're going to be meeting with Doris Davis, the Vice Provost for Admissions and Enrollment for Cornell. We're going to be discussing Cornell's early decision policy, the national early decisions debate right now, as well as the decisions by Harvard and Princeton to eliminate their early decision program. If you're interested in attending the meeting, please send me an email, and that's all I got.
Thanks for any comments or questions.
I just wanted to like encourage people who maybe like haven't really been able to be really active in some of the initiatives that we've already been doing or talking about so far to really talk to your constituencies about how they feel about early decision. I think that this is something that's like really easy for people to take a stance on one way or another, and like whether you're talking about like kids who are in state schools or you're representing a minority community, or like I just think that a lot of us have very have people who are coming at this from very different angles. So definitely, like, this is one issue that it's really helpful to get as much feedback on as possible for that meeting with Doris Davis.
I'd say one thing to that.
Thanks.
We're going to be meeting in the Day Hall Boardroom, which is a space that's capable of holding about 20 people. So far, we've only gotten about 10 interested people. Okay, so if any of you want to go, like Sarah said, please let me know. Also, if you know of any community members that have shown interest in the past in this topic, or if you're talking to community members and they want to get involved, don't hesitate to steer them my way, too. I've already invited one community member, so again, email me with those people's names as well.
Any other comments or questions on that? Okay. Next, we have a transfer, or we have transfer center news from Representative Crockett.
Right here. Actually, can I go to that thing? Is that a lot?
Also, you can, of course, invite anybody you'd like to conduct a discussion before the assembly. Also, First Vice President Foxer.
Hi. I just have a question. Like, you obviously have a lot more insight to how transfers who are living in the transfer center right now feel about this issue. And I was just wondering, I mean, is it, in your, by your estimation, is this sort of across the board that transfers are, like, really, really upset about this idea of, I don't know, I guess Cornell's vision of sort of integrating them into West Campus a little bit more. Like, are transfers kind of, like, by and large, sort of across the board, like, really upset about this issue, or is it a little bit more split? Like, not everyone thinks it's, that this is necessarily, you know, such a detrimental plan?
Most people are concerned about it. The people who are most concerned have siblings who plan on transferring in, or know people who want to transfer in the future who actually are concerned about future transfer students and have some relation of someone who is. And then people who don't, they just transfer themselves, are a little less concerned and not quite so involved, but the majority of students want to show that the transfer building programs.
So you're saying that transfers, some transfers feel like this might actually affect, like, the percentage of transfers who apply here, that having a transfer center is like a huge draw to Cornell.
The transfer center is a very large center. We received several emails from alumni who were transferred, and they said the transfer center was why they decided to come to Cornell instead of transferring to Johns Hopkins.
Representative Self.
Well, yeah, I think that the transfer center is an interesting subject. I think it does have a good place on West Campus. West Campus is sort of an upperclassman or beyond, you know, at least with the way residents is structured down from North, being freshman zone, the program now is West being upperclassman. I think it would be possible to still have something like the transfer center in one building on West Campus, because I know that the language now is incorporated as part of the Alex program, although they're using something like the Gothic. So, but still, those language house kids are mixing in with a larger residence hall at the Alex program. So, I don't think it would involve like much more than, as long as they were changing staff that run the transfer center, like a transfer center coordinator or something, had them work in Becker or one of the other houses going up. Still maintain on the campus, but it probably wouldn't be the same thing now where there could be, one dedicated building only for transfer students where no one else lives. Do you think that would be something that would be an option?
Having one building seems a little far-fetched, but I'm under the impression that these types of housing, types of West Campus initiatives have academic housing, so there'll be a housing team, a house professor, and I think the residents assistants, maybe graduate students, I don't know for sure. And then the other side of the program house, like you said, the language house. I think the transfer center would fit in with both types of houses. It could be an academic house where we all definitely can use help with our classes.
But students don't want their own building. That's not that. Do you think they want to be together more than they want their own building?
They want to be together more than they want their own building.
Okay.
Liaison Walsh, could you please sum up in maybe 10 seconds for the assembly what the issues with Hasbrook and graduate students are?
Okay, last year, right now, because of all the construction on West Campus, there's a lot of undergraduate housing being displaced. And because Hasbrook has had, in the past couple of years, a vacancy problem due to a whole slew of reasons,
No, I just wanted everybody to Representative Hartman.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out to Calvin's point. The transfer center, I believe, holds about 165 or so, around that number, I believe, right?
Almost 200.
Or 200, yeah. And there's like there's 350 transfers on campus. Like, so not everyone's transfer is able to go into a transfer center. And build like the building on West, it would require a large portion of the building for like. To ensure like what the transfer center is right now, like how many, like there's about 200 people in the transfer center, would require like a whole building of the Gothics, or just like almost the Gothics.
How many people are sitting in this?
I'm just saying how much space wise.
Well, the new houses are much larger, they keep much more than 200 beds, but give us a fine point.
Thanks. Were there any other questions or comments about this? All right, well, thank you. Let's see. On to business of the day.
I have an announcement.
Oh, you have an announcement. I'm sorry, were there any other announcements or reports? Vice President Splitman.
Hi, everyone. I sent an email out earlier this week about, first was the United Way thing during the first half of homecoming. If any of you are still interested, we'd really appreciate your help. Bono will not be there. tough with that. and then the other one is the Into the Street, which we're still working on. If anyone still wants to participate in that, please let us know. Thank you. I'm out.
Thanks. Questions or comments? Representative Bonner.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Were there any questions or comments about Vice President Flicklin's announcement?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks. Representative Bonner.
And so I encourage you all to come next Friday at our auditorium at 3 p.m. There is some free competition part of this.
Partaking in.
It's called Ivy Man. Ivy Man?
Ivy Man.
With any questions or comments about Ivy Man?
Well, thank you, Terry.
All right. Are there any other announcements or reports about things that are not on the agenda? All right. On to business of the day. First, we have an Appropriations Committee allocation by Vice President Boxer.
I motion to move this into executive session later on in the meeting.
All right. Is that a motion to?
Just so that everyone understands like what this is going to be. If that's okay. This is actually just going to be like a sense of body sort of thing. It's something that we need to like discuss and hash out like amongst us. So that's why I want it to be an executive session, a little more private, a little less formal, and that's why.
Yeah, point of information.
Mm-hmm.
Will we be voting on anything that will allocate public funds?
We're not voting on anything today.
It'll be, if anything, a sense of body.
Yeah. Okay, so there's been a motion to.
What? Yeah. Ooh,
yes.
The mayor's still coming next week. If people have stuff, definitely.
Okay. There's been a motion to table this until after new business. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Okay. Motion's approved. And actually, I'm sorry. I believe that required a suspension of the standing rules. Matt,
yeah. If you
want
to go into executive session, you need 2/3 vote.
No. Never mind. On to unfinished business. Resolution 14, resolution regarding VP of PR duties by Vice President Flicker.
Letters come out once a semester, and instead of 2 weeks, we're
list is now open. Representative Saylor.
Motion for
unanimous
consent.
Are you motioning to? Okay, there's.
What do we unanimously
consent? Oh, yeah.
This requires a roll call vote. Because, okay.
I'll draw the motion.
Okay, Representative Stubb.
I just have a question. Is the only, for this bylaw 4.265, did you just take it from the charter and really change or anything other things you said?
Right, and it shouldn't be more than I didn't have.
Okay, so the only change in the whole thing is just the, what you just told us, distributed to the student body and one from the class. Okay.
Vice President Foster.
Call the question.
Second.
Same dissent. Clerk, please call the roll.
Yes.
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 On to new business. Resolution 13, resolution regarding essay purview by Parliamentarian Asbury and Representative Salem.
Not on the
that, right between students who are technically put on campus and establishing configurations for colleges and other university companies to move up. It's helped initially to organize lobby efforts at both the state and federal level, which is what it said before, but at the end of the day, it should be directly impact higher education. And it goes on to the subject of Article 1. The reason that the subject of Article 1 was really because if you look at Article 1, which was introduced on the front after the third year as followed, then it says that there was a solely responsibility of the family matters, which involves interest or concern of welfare, and students can make proposals for certain issues to the appropriate officers to be made by the university. And then it goes on to define those recommendations to be submitted to the Senate. And then you see also 462 and 465 reproduced on the front of the original label of the Kansas City Charter. So, yeah. Open to any questions or comments.
All right, thank you. Vice President Boxall.
Okay. My question with this is, I guess, with the whole idea of the four words directly affecting higher education, just because I think that it sort of makes this whole thing pretty ambiguous. Like, I consider all of us, every Cornell student, is a product of higher education. So things that directly affect us are things that directly affect higher education, or things that are going on our campus, or major movements that people feel affected by, to my estimation, are things that affect our higher education and affect us on campus. So, you know, I guess that that's my main issue with this, my question really. And, you know, just to sort of frame the issue also, like, I know that certainly that this came to be in response to a resolution that was passed last year regarding, like, the government of Iran. But so that there's some sort of framework here. I mean, in the past, ESA has gone so far as to support wars, support issues dealing with, like, in the federal government, dealing with, like, the LGBTQ communities, dealing with, like, very volatile political issues, which, you know, I personally don't think that we should necessarily be taking stances on at a federal level, but in terms of, like, blanket really big issues, like genocide somewhere or, I don't know, whatever, along those lines. Again, in line with this whole higher education thing, you know, if a representative from, like, one of these countries or regimes or political movements that doesn't necessarily affect, like, student loans or something like that, is going to come and speak on campus or come to campus or whatever, that directly affects our higher education. I guess, like, my question is, like, the school directly affecting higher education, like, what does that expand to? What does that stop at?
Is there a motion to extend the speaker's time?
Yeah. Can we extend by 1 minute?
Are there any dissent? Okay. 1 minute to respond.
Basically, higher education, what we feel is, like, you know, the men brought up, the financial aid example, things of that nature. Obviously, I'm not going to be able to list everything that will be included or excluded. That's, you know, but something that totally out of the framework of the aesthetic or out of the framework of higher education, something like condemning the government, condemning, like, the Iranian government or, like, whatever government we want to condemn, is something we feel is not within the, within higher education, or taking sanctional wars. As you said, Sarah, that's not a good idea. But my question, I guess I don't know if I'm allowed to share this information.
I'll put you on the speaker's list. Well, but the minutes, the minute's up. Can you just wait until you're,
okay.
But the minute's up. Sorry. All right. Vice President Coombs.
Yeah, I just had a question, like, assuming that we're able to work out, like, what Vice President Boxer talked about, what directly affecting higher education means. Would this resolution leave the door open to, not if anybody on the SA necessarily wanted to do something, but if there were a student concern that affected something like a foreign government that they really wanted the SA to address, is leave the door open for a student-initiated effort to bring that to the assembly. Not the assembly bringing it to the assembly, but for students to bring it to the assembly and have us address it.
Actually, I'm not. I don't think there's a lot even table to do business. Okay. No. All right. Vice President Flickling.
I first want to thank you guys for bringing this up because it was an issue. I'm not saying whether or not I agree with it or not, but it was definitely an issue last year with Resolution 29, whether or not the SA has the jurisdiction to do this. My first question is kind of echoing what Representative Self said, but who determines what directly affects higher education? Because the war, I mean, we had Hurricane Katrina last year, we had the war in Iraq, that could easily be described to describe affect higher education in one way or another. Who's to determine what affects higher education?
I guess that's sort of a cross question. Like anything can be questioned. The definition of most things can be questioned. But I guess that's generally left up to the SA members. Like what the purpose of the amendment and the resolution is sort of just to shift the focus to make sure that when you're looking at an issue, it doesn't just say the SA can make a recommendation regarding anything, like it has power over or it doesn't have power over. Like it sort of gives a little bit more specificity as to what the SA should be looking into. Now, some SA members may be more conservative in their interpretation of what higher education is. Some may be more liberal, but that's just the nature of democratic discussion. Like, people can differ on definitions, and that's just how it's going to work. But the point of the resolution isn't to end all debate on those matters. It's just to shift the attention of the SA from discussing something like condemning governments or supporting wars.
But
unless they clearly show a link back to higher education.
Are you at all concerned that this limits the student assembly and what they can do? Would you not agree that it might be more beneficial to determine these cases on a case-by-case basis, where if a representative feels that this is not in the purview of the student assembly, that they abstain from the resolution, as many did during Resolution 29?
The thing that I think that people aren't focusing on, which will answer what you just said, like, for example, we talked about
I'm going to have to cut you off. Is there a motion to extend the speaker's time by
2 minutes?
Two minutes. Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
Okay. Please. I'm going to take a hand vote. All in favor of 2 minutes? Okay, that passes. The time is extended by 2 minutes.
For example, the point is that the way that the charter understands that people oftentimes have to focus on is that those issues, regardless of what they are, they have to be made to the appropriate officers which is made by the university. So if you want to take, for example, to cover this spirit or anything else, we recommend you do that to occur for the treatment, that's fine. But if you're going to pass something that stands you up, but it has to be a universal connection that's different than the university level. Like with our university, because we're a functioning body of university. So I think that this sort of just helps to make it a formality and minimize the fact that those are the issues that we've discussed. But in my opinion, the way the charter is already set up, it always has to chair interpretation, so whatever that particular person would tell us to be discussed, and you have to take into consideration by that fashion at that point.
Just a quick response. I don't think it limits it as much as it just shifts the focus. CJ, I mean, as I said, everyone on the SA that year feels that issue, falls to Article 1.3, following that guideline, then it's going to come before the SA. And that's why the language isn't too strict, and it's not going to list every possible case which should or shouldn't come before the SA. But if this language we feel is necessary, as we say, to set a different tone than the currently sent in. If that clarifies.
It does. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Representative Gay.
My main question is why didn't this resolution, and if any of you going to come down to the determination of the student body, which resolution they adopt, why did it make it unnecessary to debate over whether it falls on our purview? And in the end, you decide, yes, it does fall on our purview. And my second concern is, like, with whatever issue it does affect higher education, as a matter of higher education is specifically the funding which comes from school or the policy which directly affects the interest in the university. Higher education is, like, there is that all about the students and things that affect our personal lives. There's a war in Iraq that's taking away funding from higher education on other than silver lines. Other higher education funding, that's a direct effect. And so, I mean, it just seems like worthless and a waste of time that you can bring it forward, which would lead to future discussion of whether we can use resolution. Would that discussion already been happening by this resolution?
Thanks. Vice President Greenberg, you're next on the speaker list.
I was just wondering if you guys had any information on an SA representative from about 3 years ago
who actually quit, who resigned from the ESA, at least partly due to the fact that, being that she was a midshipman in Marine Corps ROTC and the ESA had voted on a resolution that condemned the war in Iraq, she felt as if she wasn't in a position to appropriately represent her constituency anymore from engineering, partly because as a midshipman she was honor bound not to speak against her chain of command. I was wondering if you had any information on this.
Okay, well, I guess I think you're referencing Ms. Benton, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Pretty much, yes, I knew about that situation, and I guess that's why issues like, I mean, unless, you know, it's clear to us, unless something comes up that's like, the one I write is directly taking away money from higher education, then I don't think that the student assembly should be taking stances on generic matters just because we should be taking stances on them.
Okay, just to interrupt you for sake of time real quick, and Representative Gay, not to take a back slap at you or anything, but a statement like Representative Gay's with regard to the fact that the war in Iraq is taking away funding from higher education, those are not the kind of statements that I personally feel we should be throwing around the student assembly, because we have no direct proof of that, nor does anybody. Do you agree with that statement?
Yes, I agree with you.
All right, thank you. Representative Salem.
Okay. Basically, I guess I'm going to use my time from the chair's permission to respond to Representative Gay's question, which is why.
No, we're not debating this right now. So.
I'm
sorry. I'm sorry. Did you ask a? Was that a? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. He said, "Why is this worth?" And I just want to say that it's a matter of timing the charter. It's not an end-all matter. There is nothing that anyone brings to the charter or amends the charter with any debate on the matter. It merely states and sets its tone. And that's how democracy functions. You never end debate on something totally. Like, that's not our aim. And, if there is a university office that is, you know, can lobby for, take for, you know, bringing money back from the war on Iraq to education, then yes, the essay should pass a resolution or, you know, saying, okay, you should do this or you shouldn't do this. But if there is no university office that can take action, if there is no proof that the war in Iraq is taking money from education, I'm just using that as an example, then there is no point for the ESA to say, oh, we support the war in Iraq, or we don't support the war in Iraq, or, you know, because then the ESA just starts wasting its time and taking stances on issues that don't directly affect higher education, nor do they directly impact students' day-to-day lives. Remember, rather, that only impact them as a citizen of the political state, which is not what it should be.
I'll put you back in the speaker's room. But we have to keep this moving. Okay, there's time left. So 10, 20 seconds.
My point in making that statement was that you can consume any issue to affect higher education. I wasn't saying whether there is or is not a correlation, but obviously in this situation you're making decisions just because. I mean, I'm not considering these references. My point was simply
Okay. All right. That's time. All right. Let's move away from this veiled debate and ask questions about the substance of the resolution. All right. This is new business. We're going to hash this out next week when it's on unfinished business. Representative Crocker.
Oh, that wasn't.
Oh, I'm sorry. Does anyone else wish to be placed on the first speaker's list before we move on to the second speaker's list? Okay, Representative Stubbs.
Okay, so the reason I said before that we don't have a clear statement from the administrator, but I think this does merit more time matching up this language. I don't want to do that for 45 minutes next week in this modifying debate that we're going to have. I'm going to make a motion to end discussion immediately on this issue until next week, when it will be, I guess, still new business, still business of the day, but I mean, I'm going to make a motion to table it, the motion to end discussion.
It will be unfinished business, but that's the technicality. There's been a motion to end debate. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
Okay. I'm sorry, not just discussion, but yeah. Okay. All in favor of ending debate, please raise your hands. Raise them high, so I can tell. How many people are here? How many? Okay. The motion fails.
It's a simple majority.
What? Other
majority?
Yeah.
What's the answer? Nasdaq, what's the answer? Do we need a majority or two-thirds?
Okay. 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 Sorry. Discussion is ended. I thought it was two-thirds. My mistake. Discussion is ended. There's been a motion to move into executive session.
Second.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, we are now moving into executive session.
Yeah.